Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Archeries Podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book, Dr. Spock's Baby and Child Care. 10th edition is a long-running parenting reference written by pediatrician Benjamin Spock and later revised with co-authors to reflect newer medical guidance and changing family. Practices. First published in 1946 under the title The Common Sense Book of Baby and Child Care, it became one of the most influential child-rearing books of the 20th century. The book is not a theory-driven academic text, but a practical guide for parents and caregivers covering infancy through adolescence. Its central purpose is to combine medical advice with a flexible, humane view of parenting, encouraging readers to trust their judgment while also paying attention to a child's physical, emotional, and developmental needs. The 10th edition continues that tradition by updating topics such as feeding, sleep, discipline, behavior, and health concerns for a modern audience. Its importance lies in how it helped shift parenting culture away from rigid authority and toward a more responsive, child-centered approach. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, a parenting philosophy built on trust, flexibility, and affection. The most distinctive feature of the book is its philosophy of child care. Spock rejects the idea that parents should rely only on strict schedules, rigid rules, or intimidating expert authority. Instead, he urges them to trust their own judgment and respond to the child as an individual. This approach matters because it reframes parenting as a practical relationship rather than a technical procedure. The book consistently assumes that affection, patience, and common sense are not signs of permissiveness in the negative sense, but essential tools of responsible care. That was a major departure from earlier child-rearing manuals that often emphasized discipline and formality. In the 10th edition, this core stance remains central, even as the specific advice reflects updated medical knowledge. The result is a guide that is as much about parental confidence as it is about child development. Readers are not just told what to do, they are taught how to think about caregiving in a calmer, less anxious way. Secondly, medical guidance that follows the child from birth through adolescence. The book covers an unusually broad developmental span, making it useful as a continuous reference rather than a one-stage manual. It addresses topics beginning with newborn care and extending through the teenage years, which helps explain its lasting popularity with families. The practical focus includes feeding, sleeping, toileting, illness, growth, school-age concerns, and emotional development. This broad structure reflects a key strength of the book. It treats childcare as a changing process, not a single set of rules fixed at birth. As children grow, the kinds of questions parents face change as well, and the book is organized to answer those questions in sequence. The 10th edition preserves that structure while updating information to reflect current pediatric understanding. That makes it especially valuable as a family reference book, since parents can return to it at different stages instead of reading it once and setting it aside. Its wide scope is part of why it became a standard household guide rather than a narrow specialist text. Thirdly, the balance between evidence-based advice and historical influence. Spock's Baby and Child Care is historically important because it helped reshape modern parenting norms. But its long life also shows the difficulty of keeping popular advice fully aligned with evolving science. Some of Spock's recommendations, especially in earlier editions, later came under criticism. The most often cited example is advice that babies should sleep on their stomachs, a position that was later linked to increased risk of sudden infant death syndrome. Later dietary recommendations also drew debate, including the suggestion of a vegan diet for children over age 2. These controversies do not erase the book's influence, but they do show why readers should treat it as a historical and practical guide rather than a final authority. The 10th edition is part of an ongoing revision process, which helps correct older assumptions and modernize the text. That tension between innovation and revision is one of the book's defining features. It is influential, not because it was perfect, but because it kept adapting as child-rearing knowledge changed. Fourthly, a child-centered challenge to authoritarian parenting culture. One reason the book became so influential is that it challenged the dominant parenting style of its era. Mid-20th century child-rearing advice often stressed control, emotional distance, and strict discipline. Spock took a different position by emphasizing warmth, responsiveness, and respect for the child as a developing person. This shift was not simply sentimental. It had practical implications for how parents handled feeding, behavior, and daily routines. The book suggests that children do not thrive when treated as problems to be managed mechanically. Instead, it presents caregiving as an interpretive task where the parent watches the child's cues and adjusts accordingly. That view helped normalize gentler parenting and made the book appealing to parents who felt alienated by severe expert advice. Its influence extended beyond individual households because it helped change what mainstream parenting advice sounded like. Rather than presenting the parent as a drill sergeant, it treated parenting as a relationship requiring attention, judgment, and empathy. Lastly, why the 10th edition still matters as a reference work. The 10th edition remains relevant because it combines historical significance with practical usability. Many older parenting books are mainly interesting as artifacts of their time, but this one continues to be read because its core framework still speaks to common parenting concerns. It does not offer trendy theories or narrow ideological arguments. Instead, it provides structured guidance on ordinary but important issues that parents repeatedly face, such as sleep, feeding, behavior, and emotional adjustment. What gives it staying power is the combination of plain language, broad coverage, and a tone that is reassuring without becoming simplistic. The revised edition format also signals that the book is meant to stay current, not frozen in the assumptions of 1946. Readers can compare older and newer advice to see how child health knowledge has changed over time. In that sense, the book functions both as a practical handbook and as a record of the evolution of parenting culture. Its continued publication shows that many readers still value a guide that is both humane and medically informed. In conclusion, Dr. Spock's Baby and Child Care. 10th edition is best suited for parents, caregivers, and readers interested in the history of parenting advice, as well as practical child-rearing guidance. New parents may find it useful as a broad, reassuring reference that covers everyday concerns from infancy through adolescence. While more experienced readers may appreciate how it frames caregiving around observation, flexibility, and respect for the child, it stands out from many other books in the genre because it is not built around rigid formulas or alarmist instruction. Instead, it combines medical advice with a conversational, child-centered philosophy that helped define modern parenting culture. At the same time, its long history makes it especially interesting to readers who want to see how advice has changed over decades, including where earlier editions became outdated or controversial. That combination of practical usefulness, cultural influence, and revision over time gives the book a distinctive position among child care manuals. It is both a guide to raising children and a landmark in the history of parenting thought. If you would like to support Benjamin Spock M.D., you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.